Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I guess now I'm obligated to ask Jhené. Not literally today, right? Like, you're not literally on fire today.
Oh, no. I'm not on fire.
Okay,
no.
Yeah.
No. We're good today. Today was smooth, even though I might have to redo this hair, because if you guys notice, it has more volume because it was crisp, you know? It's not the same anymore, but we're making it work.
Not the same, but making it work. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike, whose hair was on fire briefly on Friday, is not on fire anymore. Happy Labor Day to everybody who's celebrating right now as we talk about one of probably the outcast barbecue holidays of the summer.
I'm going to stop you there.
Uh-oh.
Because you said outcast, and we had an Andre 3000 sighting
yes.
in public.
Yes, we did.
In Georgia. So continue. Sorry. It just came to my mind as you said it.
It sparked a lot of hope that maybe we could hear from Andre 3000 sometime soon in all of this, but that is just one of a lot of bits of news that came out over the weekend. We had Jadeveon Clowney finally landing in a new home, another young player in the NFL getting dumb paid that we want to celebrate here, certainly, but we also had this weekend, Jhené, things get back to normal a little bit. Now, when we talked on Friday, we were going into the Lakers-Rockets series, and I said this looked like it was prime for a Houston win in Game 1, and the Lakers still winning this in 5, and last night, we got back on that way. That series is now knotted at 1-1, and that is largely because LeBron James showed up and did some vintage LeBron things.
Yeah, not just LeBron, also Anthony Davis and the supporting cast. But you know what's crazy? As great of a win it is for the Lakers, even though they are the favorites, there was a 41, I believe, point third quarter that the Rockets had that sort of gave them the lead after being down. Like, we thought this was going to be a blowout, and then they sort of made it a game. To me, I'd be a little worried. Also, if I'm Rockets, I'm worried because of what happened with Russ and the inconsistency. But overall, when you see LeBron James, I mean, you normally will get a LeBron James that does well. You get an Anthony Davis that does well, but you need them to be stars. And the Lakers, this is from Elias, you know my Nuggets here. The Lakers are 16-1 this season when AD and LeBron combined for 60 points, including the playoffs. That's the second best recorded by a duo in NBA history, you know, minimum of 15 games. So the only duo that did it better was Kobe and Shaq. Especially, you know, combining points on both facets with both players. So when they get to 60 points together, they win. And it was an easy margin for them to get, especially with how dominant, like AD was the one that was doing it on the boards. And LeBron James was LeBron James. And how about that dunk?
Like
eye line at the rim, vintage. How, Sway? How?
He should not be allowed to still be doing stuff like that. When you're throwing it back 10 years on a guy who we always heard, at some point the athleticism's going to leave and LeBron's going to have to age. And, no. Just it's not,
no, it's not.
It's not going to happen. Father Time has to hold the L on this one because it's been pronounced. But you mentioned the dunk was just one part of what was the night that a lot of people always clamor for with LeBron. LeBron be aggressive. LeBron go to the basket. Take it anytime you want, because he seemed to be able to get it anytime he wanted. And he talked about that mindset after the game.
Started the fourth quarter, AD's on the bench. And, you know, my teammates looked at me to try to be aggressive, either getting myself shots or getting my teammates shots. And, you know, I got an opportunity to see a couple seams, able to attack the rim, you know, and also find a couple guys as well. So, you know, like I say, every possession dictates different results, and I was able to capitalize on a few of them.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Now, you mentioned, Jhené, there are some things that make you nervous, because in my mind, I watched this game and I said, this is exactly what you signed up for when you brought Anthony Davis over here, because we knew the rest of the team, you were going to be operating out of the bargain bin. You were going to need the Alex Carusos of the world to step up on occasion, but for the most part, it was for this, for your two pillars on offense and defense to go out here and swat Russell Westbrook shot into oblivion, to get big rebounds like AD and did in this situation, and to dominate in the areas we're used to them dominating. LeBron James going to the rim and AD at the corner. What did you saw that gave you pause from the Lakers' perspective that you're still looking at and saying, I'm leery about going into the rest of the series?
Well, it's all about consistency. I think they got 41 points from their supporting cast. I'm just looking at it now, 41 points from the bench, and I think that's always a bonus when you get players like Marcus Morris, who, what did he have, 12 points or 3 three or four threes in 3 minutes to start the game. You knew it was going to be one of those type of nights. Kuz, you know, 13. Rondo, a lot of people were extremely critical of his game the first time he played, but he made a lot of huge plays, 9 assists, and he just looked like that gamble he won night two. I guess the only thing moving forward is just consistency. Like AD and LeBron, they did what they had to do and were dominant. But now it's who's going to be that consistent contributor. We've all named Kyle Kuzma, who has been there in spurts. Rondo being back. Now you're seeing his veteran savvy. This is a chess match in the sense that, okay, the Lakers won this because defensively what they did was we're going to try to get James Harden to release the ball early. And that means now you have a scrambling defense. You have traps, you have pressure, you have all those things. And now Russell Westbrook has the ball out of, and he sees a scrambling defense. You know what he also sees at all times when that happens? Red, which means he's going to go all out. And that's the thing. He rushed his game, and that was a gamble that the Lakers made. We're going to attack. We're going to try to focus on James. And in return, we're going to make Russ have to decide. That defensive effort actually might be better than their offense. That defensive ability to throw in a zone here and to switch things up might be better than their offense, because if they're going to try to make this thing a shootout, guess what? The Rockets will win. How many threes did they drop even in the loss? Like they had... I'm looking. Is it 22 threes?
Janae, there was one point where they had 17 made threes in the middle of this game and were still down. Like, seven. And this is what we said going into the series, though, that if you're the Rockets, why not go all in? We've heard about the micro ball stuff, but they shouldn't even attempt twos in this series. It should be a strictly three-point diet for the Rockets, and it helped erase a 21-point lead at one point in the first half.
Exactly, which is why it has to be with defense, because if the Rockets are going to literally shoot threes at all times, if you get 4-for-7 from P.J. Tucker, 4-from-8 for Robert Covington, 6-for-12 from Eric Gordon, I would tell you that the Rockets win. But instead, you got 1-for-7 from Russ and 4-for-8 from James Harden, which ideally the three-point numbers are probably in double figures for James Harden. That defensive strategy actually worked. Make Russ feel wide open and just take the rhythm threes, or just attack and sort of scramble and throw a lot at him so that he has 7 turnovers. Like the defense actually here, you know, they always say offense sells tickets, defense wins games, and then Pat Summitt took it to the next level. Shout out to Tennessee, I see your shirt. You know, rebounding wins championships. Defense for the Lakers and also rebounding for the Lakers are going to be their bread and butter success, even though as fans, we are so fixated on the offense. It's the defense and reboundings that are literally teed up for the Lakers' favor. And I think they discovered that, even though they'll have to lean into that more, because the Rockets showed, oh, guess what? Like, you guys might be cozy, you know, getting these dunks in transition that go viral, but we're going to keep slinging these threes, because when you shoot a three, make a three, and then the Lakers go and make a two, and then you shoot another three, like the point differential adds up really quick, and that's how we saw them get back in the game. Defense for the Lakers is the method for success, even though we love to see the dunks and the offense.
I thought both teams were extremely active on the defensive end there. We know the Rockets doing it a bit of different ways, being as pesky as they are, even undersized. Shout out to P.J. Tucker, who should
Let's
be playing linebacker in the National Football League. By the way, just bodying dudes out there on the block, going toe-to-toe with Anthony Davis down there, clanging and banging, and finding a way to really set the tone for them in that way. I want to get back to Russ in a little bit there, because what we saw from him last night was one of the strangest things I've ever seen for someone who is a former MVP who you could still consider in his prime, that I think we need to explore a little bit more. Chanae and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. We got a great guest list today. Ryan Holland's going to join us in about 15 minutes here. Keep breaking down the NBA playoffs. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, at 5:30. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 3 hours on demand in the ESPN app. But coming up next, we have to figure out and say the obvious thing.
Oh,
when
yes.
It comes to the Milwaukee Bucks.
You won't want to miss it.
Have the bravery to say what no one else will say about this game. We'll get to that next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So Labor Day is interesting to me Chiné, because when we think about it, it's a holiday. People have the work day off today. Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN
Radio.
This
song is taking me back. I'm sorry.
Well, and this is like, but like, this is like the good outdoor cookout vibe song, like 100%.
It is.
You're outside by the grill cutting it up with everybody with this one.
Yeah, you have the plate. You know, you got, like, you, as a woman, you can do your little cute dance with the plate. You got the fork in your hand.
I mean, I can do a cute dance with a plate.
I'm sure you can. I give Magic
little,
Mike.
That's, I can say, it's just like a little one. That one's free and easy on that one, and that's the way it should be at the cookout.
Oh, gosh, but, don't take me there. You said free and easy. I'm done.
But, like, but you know what I mean about Labor Day when we look at today? Like, it's a less glorified cookout day than, like, 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend.
Yes,
things
it's
like
cool,
that.
Calmer vibes, slow music. It's sort of the end, the crossover, right, from summer into fall. So I hope everyone's really enjoying themselves, you know, being safe, barbecuing, listen to good vibes. They also have games, which is great. Even though we are missing some form of football, the semblance that we had, you know, in years past, we still have sports. We have good vibes. I mean, we're blessed.
We do have good vibes, except for the internet, who instead of usually arguing like, usually we take this day to, like, rank the people at the cookout or argue about certain practices there. But instead, the internet is taken to arguing about fast casual chain restaurants today for some reason. And so we got to put a pin in that. I want to get to that a little bit in a little bit, because I saw some slander of a couple of fast food restaurants that I cannot tolerate now or ever.
And
it needs to be addressed.
I saw a glaring omission
yes.
from that content as well. So we will defend. We will defend.
We will defend and honor the places that we love. But now it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. On Chiné and Golic Jr., we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Chiné, the Milwaukee Bucks, while they got a win, it's one of those, and we say this all the time, a win that can feel like it's wrapped in a loss, because we saw Giannis Antetokounmpo go down with the ankle sprain in that game. And Chiné, first off, I want to ask, based on what you saw from Giannis, is this a situation where you believe that for the better of his career, for their long-term investment, that they need to sit him, or is there any world where you see him back on the court for this next game?
That was a smart move to not play Giannis. Even when it comes to ankles, I know we play on rolled ankles, we play on hurt ankles, we use the adrenaline, but the thing is once you slow down, that's when things swell up. So it was a smart move by the Bucks, and actually, this might have sort of helped them find their mojo. Are you ready to state the obvious, Junior?
Oh, no, you're going to... Don't, please, Chiné, don't do it. You don't have Look, to do this.
I'm not going to do it, actually, but can we at least say in a small sample size, the obvious, given the situation, given that they literally had to play with reckless abandon, you have your finger on the sound?
I have my finger on it ready. Do you want him to say it?
Who?
Because our very own Kendrick Perkins said the thing
oh, yeah, it's always
that I
better.
Was
Let
waiting
Perk
for people to say
Let Perk
yesterday
say
that I don't believe.
I don't believe it either, but the argument is being made today just because this of
is,
the game.
This is what we get to say. Some people are saying, including our very own Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, that the Bucks look better with Giannis off the floor.
When you look at the Bucks, and no disrespect to Giannis, but offensively, they're actually better without him on the floor. And the facts back it up. He was a negative 34 before last night. And when he went out, I believe they were down about, 11 points. He had his points, but nobody else had a rhythm. And they're so predictable to guard. They know all they have to do is wall up Giannis and recover out to three-point shooting. With Giannis being out, it's more motion. It's more player and body. It's more player and ball movement going on. And the Heat wasn't ready for that because their game plan wasn't predicated towards ball movement and cuts and you know, big Lopez going to the block. And it was a mixture, and everyone joined together and delivered last night.
All right, so he mentioned the facts in there. Let's look at some of them. Last night, the Bucks played more minutes without Giannis in one game than they had the entire series prior to this, when they played 42 minutes with Giannis off the court. Through this series with the Heat in the Eastern Conference semis, the Bucks have had 78 minutes with Giannis off the court. In those, they're plus 7 in point differential, shooting 51% from the field and 40% from beyond the arc. With him on the court for 119 minutes, it's a minus 32 point differential, 43% from the field with 31% from beyond the arc. So, Chiné, I'm going to say I don't believe the Bucks are better offensively or any other way with Giannis off the court, because that's way too simple of a way to look at this. But why did it appear that way? What was it about the Bucks with him off the court that all of a sudden had life for what looked like the first time in this series?
For those that say the Bucks are better with Giannis off the court, that is very omissive because it's very subjective to the time period in which we're talking about. One game standalone. The Bucks would not be in that position having the best record in the NBA over 82 games without Giannis Antetokounmpo having a year in which he goes 30-14 in under minutes than he did prior. He put them in the position to be successful in the playoffs. Now we know that the playoffs are a completely different game. The reason why the Bucks looked better with him off the court in this instance is because when you have such a tremendous talent, you defer. And this is a young team that has a lot of players that haven't really made names for themselves individually at a high degree. I'm talking about Chris Middleton. He's changing that narrative. Eric Bledsoe still trying to fight to be that guy that we knew from Phoenix. Young guys like Dante DiVincenzo, Pat McConaughton. So many guys, the Lopez's, they're not going to challenge a Giannis when it comes to play. But you need people that will challenge you when it comes to your game. That's why Chris Middleton emerging during this time might be the biggest blessing in disguise, because if there was any chance that Giannis returns, you want a Giannis returning alongside a Chris Middleton that looks like the first time the all-star, the rising top player that he appeared to be, especially when Giannis was out. So yes, in this instance, the Bucks look better because they finally started playing freer and they started realizing that, guess what? We just can't just stop and wait for Giannis, who, even though he was gone, what were his points? Like, was it 11, like, of the first 12 or 14? He's a dominant force, which means you defer to that dominant force. But if you're a Bucks team, you need to do it together. And that's the difference. They forgot about that aspect until they were forced to. With Giannis out, they were forced to move the ball. They were forced to see if Chris Middleton could be that top tier talent and sort of look at himself as a scorer. They were forced to, you know, slap the floor defensively and really dig in and play for their pride instead of just deferring to Giannis. So in this one game, the obvious thing to say is that the Bucks looked better without Giannis. But the thing is that's very, very omissive of what got them to where they are now, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo to the best record, to even having the grace period to now discover their game in real time. Without Giannis, this team would look completely different.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. One, I appreciate your slip-up of saying Pat McConaughton there, because as a Notre Dame grad, the Irish inflection in there feels all too appropriate. And also, we could say another very wild, reckless thing based off that whole, you know, Giannis is in his Pippen mode right now and needs a Jordan in this situation. Chris Middleton looked like Jordan the other night. He just became the second player in the last two decades to take every shot for his team in overtime. Like, lest you were looking for an alpha on that team in his absence, you found it in Chris Middleton last night. Took all the shots for the Bucks in their overtime spell there. So we'll see if they can rebound. The sad part is this feels like where you learn in real time that you could have been treating your ex a lot better. Because I firmly believe Giannis is going to end up leaving Milwaukee in this situation. The timeline matches up way too well with the LeBron first Cleveland stint that we saw. A pair of MVPs, but ultimately not putting enough around in enough time to get him to stay. But they got to see in real time, oh, we could have acted like this when we had the best player in the NBA, at least in this year, on the court doing these things, and now we know it's going to take a little tougher
run.
But
look, that's the desperation, though. Like, that's the Chris Middleton game where it's desperation showing you, look, I am a guy that you can build with. And also, it's the front office and the coaches saying, guess what? We're going to protect you for the long run. So they're doing the right things, but it might be a too little, too late. And you heard it first here.
Yeah, no, I think it's unfortunately, and this is something we've talked about, going to be a little bit too little, too late. But speaking of that, coming up next, our next guest once proclaimed that Giannis was actually the most overrated player in basketball. We'll see if he has changed his tune in the time since then. We will get to that, though, after this word from TuneIn. See, as the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready for kickoff with TuneIn, the app that lets you listen to live games and in-depth analysis of your team all season long. With ESPN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to comprehensive football coverage from NFL Live, fantasy-focused football, and more to fuel your football fandom. Just download the free TuneIn app and get started listening today everywhere you go. Back after this, it's Chenay and Golic Jr.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chenay and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chenay Igwumike here on ESPN Radio. ESPN News.
Did you ever do this new dance?
I don't think I ever got in on this one. I kind of left. I think the last dance craze thing that I actually like knew and practiced and was all right at was like the Kwan.
Ooh, I need to see that in real time.
Didn't get its just due, by the way.
The Kwan. It really didn't.
That's a story for another day, though. And as I mentioned, guest joined us on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. Someone who I'm sure has gotten in a few dance crazes in his day, former NBA player Ryan Hollins joins us on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Ryan Hollins, have you ever hit the Kwan?
You have to jog my memory, man. I'm not with the new craze in dances, man. Sinead takes the cake for that, man. I'll probably be asking her how to, you know, hit the Dougie or the Kwan or what do these young kids do now, man? I'm the old young guy, man.
I'm going to say, that's what it is, Ryan, is I give you credit for being one of the young guys there because you bring that kind of energy to every interaction. So let's go with an easier one then, because I saw you tweet the other day that there were going to be at least two games in this series in the Western Conference where the Rockets beat the brakes off the Lakers. After what we saw last night, do you still believe that?
I do, because when you look at Houston, they play such an unorthodox style of basketball. And let's be honest, Anthony Davis played out of his absolute mind. And I know that's what we expect each and every night from Anthony Davis. But when you look at AD, if you want to hear one knock, and can we be honest with each other?
Yes,
myself
always.
And Brendan Haywood, let's do it. Myself and Brendan Haywood were talking about this. Anthony Davis doesn't have a go-to move. Sinead, you play in the post. I played in the post. When you don't have a go-to move, what it breeds is inconsistency. So while Anthony Davis was on fire, he was a man amongst boys last night, if he doesn't have that same type of production, we wouldn't be looking at Russell Westbrook's, you know, 10 points last night and talking about a disappointment. We'd be saying, AD, you got to take advantage of your matchup against a guy like PJ Tucker. And the annoying thing about small ball is when you see small ball being played, what happens? They can grab the big guys. They hold them. They're pushing you on the waist when you're going up on your jump shot. So it's really smart for them somewhat to run small ball, because when you get away with grabbing and holding a post player, all is free. So I would not be surprised if there was another game where the Lakers lose really bad to Houston.
This is why I really appreciate Ryan Hollins. Ryan Hollins and I, that's my big brother from another mother. We did a lot of reps together all over ESPN. But he always finds the different aspects and different angles to the game. And you talked about AD not having a go-to. I think that's because he's so tremendously talented that he can do whatever he wants. So when push comes to shove, it's sort of like, do I do the fadeaway? Do I attack? Do I shoot the three? Do I pick and roll? There are a lot of questions that need to be answered when it comes to his go-to game. But switching gears now to a go-to player. The Bucks played without Giannis, and the Bucks got a win. How do we evaluate the Bucks' success, especially with Chris Middleton, given that their backs were against the wall and Giannis was injured, but they still found a way to extend the series when everyone thought it was probably going to be a sweep?
A little bit of both right here. What do I mean when I say a little bit of both? The one thing Kevin Garnett taught me through our times in the playoffs is he said, hey, Ryan, I don't care what team it is. I don't care who's on the other side. The hardest thing to ever do in professional sports, or especially in a series, is to eliminate a team. They're going to play out of their minds. No Giannis. Everyone said no chance. Okay, he went to the back, and all of Milwaukee just kind of turned and went crazy. So there's an element there where you're saying that, hey man, that was just a team playing out of their mind. Now there's another element, and I'm not sure. My man, Mr. Golic, baby Golic, if you saw the tweet that I also put out, is that Milwaukee may have been playing through the wrong number one. Giannis is actually more fitted to be a number two, and I don't think that's a knock on Giannis. I don't think that means he's a bad player, but if you look at what Chris Middleton did last night, he was extremely effective in high-pressure playoff situations, which Giannis hasn't been in 1, 2, 3 games. So if somehow Chris Middleton can take the reins and be aggressive with the basketball and play the same way he played, and then when he gets tired, he's dumping off to Giannis, or Giannis is cutting back doors, setting big screens, that's going to be danger for Milwaukee. And I'm not talking about these guys coming back from 3-1, but that's a different pairing, a different mindset than what we were originally watching, because these guys had absolutely no chance. It looked like the Bucks were beating their head against the wall. Giannis just trying to crash to the rim, and he was just working so hard. And you see him now with a sprained ankle and in danger of not coming back and playing.
Ryan, I hear you say that, though, and I understand from the outside looking in, we can talk about that kind of stuff, but we know that generally doesn't tend to be how it works with superstars. Like, do you think there's a world where Milwaukee could reconcile the idea that the offense isn't running through Giannis and he actually ends up sticking around for that? Because I look at this situation and feel like we're watching the beginning of the end, like Giannis and everyone involved realizing that this guy's probably not going to be around for the long haul if they keep it up like this.
Well, the big thing is how they compete. And if there is ever a do-or-die situation for free agency or some type of hope for Giannis to say, you looked at Chris Middleton last night and everybody turned their heads and said, man, this guy is more of a superstar than we thought. We were downgrading Chris Middleton. And if you looked at every single other second option or some guy who could come in and play, he was the least on everyone's list. He was below Paul George. He was below Anthony Davis. Every other superstar was what you would have taken over Chris Middleton, because that's what he'd shown. And now if we want to sit back and look with it and take an honest-to-God look, you probably say, Coach Bud, you were using this guy wrong. Everybody, Shanae, you know it. You played. You still played. I'm not putting you in that case yet, okay? I'm not saying you don't play yet, okay? Look, I know there's a lot of game in them legs. So I know there's a lot of game. But what I'm saying is, everybody's not meant to play off of the basketball. Giannis Antetokounmpo can play off and on the basketball. And let's take a page out the Rockets book. In transition, who shows it? Is Russell Westbrook showing transition? In the half court, who do you play through? James Harden. So if they can adapt some of that strategy, there's a lot of hope there. There's a lot of hope for the Milwaukee Bucks, because if Middleton can be, I mean, just 75% of what he was, and then you get Giannis at 50, even 60 or 70%, and you alleviate some stress from him, man, that's a different ball game.
You can follow him on Twitter, at TheRyanHollins. Ryan, we appreciate the time, as always. Next time we're all together, we'll have Chinee teach you the Dougie, and we'll put it on TikTok. Sound good?
And the Quan, everything.
I didn't get a chance to say this, guys, but I could not be happier for two of the most amazing people in the business to have an opportunity to work together. Huge fan of the show. Keep it up, guys. So happy for you.
We appreciate it, brother. Thanks, Ryan. I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon again around here. Again, former NBA player Ryan Hollins with us here. Chinee Ngola Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Kawhi and the Clippers battle the Nuggets. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, coming up over the weekend, one of my favorite things in the world got happen. A young person got dumb paid. And we had a great moment that went along
money,
with it.
Money, money, money. That's you better next. Finish it.
It's Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN it. Radio. Money!
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
I woke up this morning, Chinee, and felt a very different energy. And it's not that I haven't been excited by everything going on with the NBA playoffs, and it's not that I haven't been excited with everything we've seen this summer from the world of sports. But it's week one of the NFL season officially.
Let's go!
And it just feels different, right?
You know, like, what? You really dropped the ball right there, because you said, oh, building it up. I woke up. You should have said feeling dangerous. Like, that would have been a very football line to start the season with, right?
I mean, based off this offseason, I should have said I woke up feeling unlimited. We should never allow Russell Wilson to live that down. It's Chinee Ngola Jr.
Never.
Here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Access the free online resources through the SCORE Small Business Resilience Hub at score.org. And Chinee, I want to get to in a second. We saw one of the best things that happens in all of sports. A young person changed the course of their life and their family's life forever through the world of sports. Like, it's the coolest thing that can possibly happen, and it puts pressure on a team that I think richly deserves it. But did you see all the slander going on the timeline yesterday when it came to these fast casual restaurants? There was that post. You had four choices for a place that you could have your birthday. It was Applebee's, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and the Cheesecake Factory.
Dude, first of all, can we just agree that the Cheesecake Factory is above all of those other ones.
It's a cut above the rest, no doubt. On menu size alone, the girth of the Cheesecake Factory menu puts it on a different
level. The level of their strawberry lemonade mixes are just on a different level, too.
And, of course, the cheesecake. Like
The cheesecake is the winner. I always order the same thing. It's like the jambalaya or whatever the mix is.
Oh, yeah.
Like pasta. Oh, yeah.
But you said you had a question?
Oh, no, that was my thing.
Well, so I think in this instance, we should sub it in. There should be the Cheesecake Factory subbed out. I don't know how Chili's wasn't the obvious fourth choice in
that one.
And then the minute you sub it in, not the obvious winner of this entire situation.
Chili's would have won the entire thing.
When I was feeling
bougie in college, granted, we were just getting paid off of our little like meal plans for, you know, road games. If I had more than 20 bucks, if I had less than 20, I was going to Chipotle. If I had more than 20 and I was feeling like a baller, I was at Chili's. And my go-to, baby back ribs.
Yup.
Like, I'm from the South.
Yup.
From Texas. And when I wanted like that cheap meal, that bougie meal, that meal that I can go with my friends and we'd sit and get service, it'd be the baby back ribs with the fries. But the secret sauce, because we consider ourselves the secret sauce of this ESPN radio lineup, for everyone listening, we have fun, we do it, we energize, the queso.
Oh.
Best queso I think I've ever had. This, not like in general, but like, you know, for a chain, best chain queso.
The skillet queso at Chili's with the little bits of meat mixed in there,
oh,
why aren't more
it.
People doing that in their queso?
That's
why
what I'm wondering. It's the meat. It's in there, peppered in there. Like, I would go and I'd appetizer automatically, queso. It's lit. I don't know why. I don't know why people go to the spinach dip. I'm like, that's a second.
Honestly, don't play with second tier dips when you go to Chili's. The only greater thing than knowing the skillet queso is coming out is hearing the crackle of the fajitas when
oh,
that's
yes.
getting ready to come out there. When you hear that,
wood.
You know someone is ready to take their meal to the next level on that.
I'm so looking forward to hearing what you believe should not be slandered. Like, you listed those restaurants. Is the restaurant that was also in the mix? I don't know if I want to drop it.
We will get to that in just a second here. I'll give you the number one restaurant that got slandered on the timeline that I will not stand for in all of this. But we do have to get to the money, because you mentioned balling in college, trying to figure it out. You're working with what we've got. There is one thing. Someone who's not going to have to worry about that anymore is Deshaun Watson. He got dumb paid over the weekend. Deshaun Watson signs a deal for $160 million, an extension, I should say, with the Houston Texans that'll keep him an additional 4 years after the two left on his current deal right now. But Deshaun Watson, it was certainly seeing that for a guy that we understood had a payday coming, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, has been dragging the Houston Texans to the playoffs every year since he's been in the league, but had a great moment here, zoomed in with his family, experiencing it all together. Here was Deshaun Watson and his family living out a moment I'm sure they dreamed of his whole life.
Congratulations, bro.
Congratulations.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Well, all that grinding, boy, done paid off, boy. I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of you, bro.
You got all the keys to the office now. Go to the Super Bowl.
Congratulations, Sean. I love you. And Auntie just got to say something on behalf of your mama and this whole. Your mama's so proud of you. And for what you have become, and we know God gonna keep doing great things in your life. And you just live, honey, and be happy, and accept whatever He bring your way, and just keep going. And we just want you to know we love you.
Yes, yes. Ma'am. We love you.
You know I love you. I
love you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, Auntie, with the testimony.
She was ready for her moment.
Look, as beautiful as that moment is and as well-deserved as the moment is, I am so happy for Texas. I am so happy for my franchise, because as a part of the Texans organization, like I speak because I'm from Houston, obviously, the quarterback turnover has been our demise. And now to have a stable future, one in which we have a dynamic QB that is just super talented and locked in for the long term, it feels like we're moving in a positive direction. So this was a great moment, not only for him, but I feel like the entire city of Houston is just relieved. Sigh of relief. And it's funny, because I was looking and it says, although he has played only three seasons, Deshaun Watson, his 71 touchdowns rank second already in franchise history, and his over 9,700 passing yards ranks third. So this is the guy that in his short time has made a huge impact. And I'm glad that he's the QB of our future.
It is. You're right. After the wasteland, and DeAndre Hopkins, who will no longer be there, had to wander around in that vast QB wasteland in Houston for far too long. They found their guy. I'm sure if you're Houston, it is a sigh of relief because you did watch a lot of other very talented players leave town. This does set up. You mentioned being happy for Texas. I'm happy for Dak Prescott because if that man goes out there and balls this year now, he has watched his peers get paid, and he is going to put the Cowboys in a position where they're going to have to choose between paying their quarterback or gutting that roster. And based on the way they operated this offseason, I am excited to see Dallas's feet held to the flames potentially by another young star quarterback. Speaking of stars in Texas, though, we got to figure out why one couldn't shine bright enough last night. We'll get to that next. It's Shanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.